If our ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Mike, would you ask the blessing over the offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, thanks once again for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for allowing us all to be back in your house again. Just please bless the offering we're about to receive. Bless those who were able to give and those who weren't. Please just make God direct us and give us where we're about to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
everybody knows this one. I say we give the devil a good old black eye this morning. He sure don't like when we sing this one. Something about that name. Let's all stand and let's give God the glory this morning. Yes, ma'am.
Definitely something about that name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Genesis chapter 24. Brother Tim taught this lesson in the class downstairs the other day, and I've had there's a verse on my heart ever since, and we're going to won't be saying telling you anything new, just something that had stirred me in this passage, and I've not been able to get it off my mind, and so I feel like this way the Lord's leading us this morning. I want to read a verse out of Genesis 24:33, and if you want to turn over to Galatians 1 and verse 10. You stand with me when you find your place. Genesis 24, verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. Galatians 1, verse 10, the Bible says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Want to speak this morning a little about, it's about being a servant, and the servant here in the story in Genesis 24. But I've only thought of, do you have time to eat? Yesterday evening, I put off mowing the yard till right before dark. I had just enough time to get the yard mowed. Rhonda was fixing supper. I couldn't eat. I didn't have time to eat. You believe that for me, but I had to wait till after I got the yard mowed because I was just about out of time, and sure enough, it was getting dark by the time I put the mower up. Do we have that attitude and that mindset about the work of the Lord, about the things of God, and about the spiritual touch from the Lord, and about our salvation, and about the things that we do this morning? And my daddy used to say, though, we're talking about, daddy used to say, "Eat like you work, boys, slow and very little." And but let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. And God, we ask you today, you'd just bless according to your perfect will. You'd touch according as you see fit. It's just not an accident that we're all here. It's not an accident that you give us this passage today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There was a young violinist that played a concert, and when he finished, the crowd jumped up, gave him a standing ovation, and just, wow, what a magnificent performance, and everybody was just blown away. The violinist walked off stage with tears running down his face. And one of the backstage hands asked him what was wrong. And he said, "Do you see that man sitting out in the middle, such row back?" And the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "He's still sitting." And he said, "But there's 2,000 standing." And he said, "You don't understand, that's my daddy. And also, he is my violin instructor. And if he don't stand, I don't care what the other 2,000 do." Boy, I tell you, I found this, and I got to thinking about it, and you know, are we that way with the Lord? Are we so set on pleasing Him that it don't matter what everybody else says? What everybody else thinks, it don't have a... But our goal, number one goal, ought to be pleasing Him. And that violinist, when he got up there, he wasn't there to please the 2,000. He knew if he pleased Daddy, everything else would be all right. Amen. And in our life and in our walk with our Christian walk today, that is our goal to please the Father of the universe, the God of the universe. Or is our goal, Paul said over there, if I please men, then I'm not even worthy to be called a servant of Jesus Christ. My goal is to please God, is what that he was saying. And this passage here, he said, "I will not eat." What a picture of diligence. What a picture of diligence for the master service. And it didn't matter how hungry, how tired, he'd just come from a long trip, how uncomfortable. He was not going to sit down until he took care of the mission that he was on. And tell you a little bit about the story, and I've just read one verse, and of course we had it in Sunday school. In chapter 23, Abraham's wife had just passed away. Sarah had just died. Now in chapter 24, Abraham's 140 years old, and he's wanting his son to have a wife, and he is sent a servant now to go back to where he's from. He said, don't take a wife of the Canaanites, but take of the land that I came from, and back to my father's house. So he has sent this servant to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. And this is the servant. And he goes, and then when he gets there, he prays a prayer, and the Lord has answered it. It's Laban's house. He goes in. They've got a meal ready. And he said, I will not eat until we talk about what I've came for. And I just thought about this. See, he sent his eldest servant. And this was probably Eliezer. And let me ask you this morning and kind of get what we're thinking about. Do you have anybody that if you really need something or you really need to know something, you got somebody that you can call? No matter what it is, there's somebody that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I call this guy, he'll take care of him. I believe that's the way Abraham was with Eliezer. We find him back in chapter 15, verse 2. And back then, 50 to 60 years earlier, he was going to be, he's in charge of everything then, of the whole household of Abraham. He was his go-to man. He was his right hand. He was the guy that he knew that when he called on him, he'd get the job done. I've got a friend that if I need to know something, he knows a little bit about everything. I tell Rhonda, I say, I hate to call him so much. He's going to say, that's the dumbest boy I ever seen. I called him the other day. I had to buy a new tool. I called him, I said, Keith, what tool do I need to buy? He said, well, the kind you had had is a good one, but I'd believe I'd buy a Bostitch. He said, if I was buying a new one, that's what I'd buy. I said, okay. And then I talked to Gary, and Gary said, all I got's Bostitch. So I said, hey, I done good. I've done well. So are we that go-to servant for God? Are we the one that he says, I know that I've got a task and it's got to be done and I've got to have a special person to do it. I'm going to send Ray. I'm going to send Jay. I'm going to send Tim. I'm going to send Rhonda. This is a specific purpose, and it's very important. And I'm going to send the best I've got. I'd like to be on that list. How about you? I'd like to be on it. I'd like to be God's go-to man. The one that when it absolutely has to be done and be done right. What was he said about Job? The devil said, come, and he said, I've been walking up and down there. He said, have you even thought about my main man, Job? I mean, back in Genesis chapter 6, what was he said? And all these things, and he remembered Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These were his go-to men. He had a specific task for Noah. The earth, for us to be here today, depended upon Noah building the right boat the right way. And he said, I've got to have Noah. Nobody else can do his task but Noah. Abraham said, nobody's going to take care of this. I don't trust this with nobody but Eliezer. And look at that servant today. And I want us to look at him a little bit. This servant that didn't even have time to eat until he got the job done. And one thing that I see in verse 2 was he was a tested servant. In verse 2 of chapter 24 he says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. He was in charge of everything that Abraham had. He was trusted. He was tested. See, he had been with him over 50, 60 years. They don't tell him how long. Maybe him born into the household. And he said he had been tested. He had been tried. He had knew everything about him. And he knew that he was the guy. This here, in verse 2, it says, and then he said, put thy hand under my thigh, which was a ceremony to where inferior would put his hand under the thigh of a superior for a testimony of his subjection. and subjection and faithful service. Have we done this to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we done this to God? Have we asked Jesus to come into our hearts? Have we made a commitment? See, it's important that we ask Jesus into our hearts and our lives. The most important thing that we'll ever do. To be sure that our sins are under the blood. One day we'll stand and give an account to God Almighty for everything we've done. And if our sins are not under the blood, we'll be wake up in hell. No way, no when, ifs, no buts about it. The importance of being tested and asking Jesus to come in and forgive us. But also, I done that several years ago. But not as many years ago, I nailed it down and said, God, whatever you want, wherever you want, I'll go. I committed it all to Him. Now that's hard to do. It's good to have fire insurance. But He wants a servant that's willing to pack up and go into another country, and he don't know where he's going, he don't know who he's looking for, and he don't know, he just takes a load of stuff and he says, I'll go do it. Amen. Thinking about this tested servant. See, his focus was on the mission. Have you noticed, you look through this passage, you will not find, and most commentators believe, you will not find Eliezer's name in this passage. He's the servant of Abraham. Everything he talks about in this passage, he brags on the master and he brags on the son. He don't even mention his name. When he is told who he is, when he went to the family, he went to Rebekah, he said, I am Abraham's servant. He didn't say, I'm Eliezer. I'm the man. I'm the main dude at Abraham's house. Which would have been a true statement. I take care of everything. If Abraham needs something, he calls me. I've come for his task. He said, no, I'm a servant of the master. Glory, hallelujah. See, I'm afraid so often we think we're the one to run the flag up. We think the church won't make it unless we are there. If I'm not part of it, then it ain't going to make it. I tell you, like I told two guys, a company we used to work for, and they kind of thought that they were pretty important. And I said, this company done long well before me or you two ever got here. And guess what? When we're long gone, this company will keep going. And that's the same way with the church. It don't matter. This church was going great before I ever showed up. And guess what? It'll be going good when I leave. Because it's God's church. It's His work. He is in charge. He is the master. And I'm just a servant that not even worthy to call my name. See, often our mission gets hijacked by our wants and our needs and our desires. We start out on a good mission. What if Eliezer got halfway there and said, man, I'm hot. I believe if I turned right here, there's an oasis out there by the wall, and I'd go back there and relax and lay back in that water for a little bit and drink and enjoy myself. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry. Let's go this way. Let's do this. No. He went straight to get the job done. He didn't get hijacked by what he wanted, what he liked, or anything else. He was on a mission. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, in this passage, and most would say this is preachers and ministers of the gospel. I tell you, we're all ministers of the gospel. I believe this scripture holds true for every one of us that we are to be found faithful. I will guarantee you this, the only way God will ever use you, you have to be faithful. He will not use a lazy servant. I bet you, if I was a bet man, I'd bet $100 to hold a donut that Eliezer was the hardest worker that Abraham had. I about guarantee you. When he had a job, he knew who the dude was as the guy that he sent. He said, it's so important. See, I do not want my son going there. I do not want him marrying a Canaanite. It's important that you go get someone that out of my father's household. Important, important task. See, he was tested. James 1 and verse 2 says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials or persecutions. Wait a minute, did I read that right? Count it what? When we get persecuted, I'm supposed to count it joy? When I get afflicted, I'm supposed to count it joy? Count it all joy when you're tried and tested and tempted. Not tempted to sin, but the problems and the afflictions that come along with being a servant of the Most High God. In Luke 9:62, the Bible says, and Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's the servant that servant that puts his hand to the plow and he looks forward. He's going to do the best job that he can do, and he don't look back to the past. He don't look back to the wealth. He don't look back to the pleasures of sin. He don't look back to what it used to be. He's got his eyes keeping ahead. Now, we had an old tractor, and if I wanted to do a plow, tobacco, or do something, there was a crease right down the center of that hood of that tractor. Ralph's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about. I never was real good with a gun, but I'd close one eye, and I'd sight right down, and I'd find me a point on the other end of the field, and I'd keep that line, and I kept my eyes ahead. And if I got to look behind, I'd be over another row, plowing up corn or plowing up tobacco or something. But I kept it, and I couldn't keep a watch thing. But if I knowed, as long as I kept that crease down and a point out there, I was okay. And it's the same way as the servant here, and that Jesus is talking about. That servant that keeps his eyes forward and knows where the goal is and knows where the mark is and knows what he's trying to accomplish, and he keeps his focus right there, he's going to be all right. Instead of looking back. My daddy was the strictest on getting a straight row as anybody. I pulled row after row of the back up. Boys, that's got a crook in it. Get it up. I said, Daddy, you can get more in a crooked row than you can a straight row. That didn't fly. The next thing, and I see also in verse 2 and 33, he was a trusted servant. In verse 2 there, he was in charge of everything. In 33, and there was meat set before him. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And they said, speak on. See, everything had been entrusted with him. I thought about this the other night when I got to looking. You talking about someone had a lot of trust in this servant. Now, Abraham was a wealthy man, the Bible says. He was in charge of everything he had. He was on a task to go find a bride for his son, a promised son that God had promised that he was going to bless the world with. It's important he had a good bride. And this guy was in charge of going to find her. Whoa. Now that's a lot of trust. And not only that, I got to thinking, well, if She was a beautiful young lady, and he entrusted him to bring her back safe. He'd entrusted him with everything. With his wealth, with his servants, with his camels, with the picking and protecting the bride. How important. He knew that he could trust him. See? Now, I don't know. I always said that Rhonda could make a party out of anything. And I don't care where you go. We can, and most of us, if we'll be honest, the same way. We could have to go to a seminar or something out in another town, and we'll go do the chore that we have, but we're going to take a little time to check the town out. We're going to check all the attractions out. We're going to find the best restaurant. Usually you'll Google before you go to see where the best restaurant is, to see where the best attractions. And I don't care. I went, Rhonda and I, and the girls went with us not too long ago. Earlier this year, we went to Branson for a conference. But I can tell you where the best donuts are. I can tell you where the best ribs are out there. If you're going, just get with me and I'll let you know. He did not test and check out the attractions when he rove into this place. He went right straight to the well. He prayed and asked God and took care of business right off the hand. And would not even eat till he accomplished what God had in store for him. Whew. Is this an example of a servant or what? Is this, I'm telling you, I've looked over this and I've studied this, and man, and I've known this all my life, and God just peeled this back and opened, and I said, man, that's the kind of servant I want to be. I want to be God's go-to man. Amen. See, our minds is twisted sometimes. Because I'll share something, and this is pretty personal, and I'll share it with you. When I was called to preach, you know what my mindset was? Well, I'm called. I can't get out of it. I got to do it. I'm afraid I won't make it to heaven if I don't. I'll be miserable. What's God going to have to do to get me to do it? Is that sad or what? It is. I'm just honest with you. I'm sharing with you this morning. You don't have to tell everybody this, but I was condemned. I was struck. There's no way out of it. I didn't know what I was getting. I didn't know what a blessing that it is when the Holy Spirit hits you and you get thoughts faster than you could ever think. Things come across and God moves and works and hell he does. Wow! What it is. But then I said, oh, Lord, I'm plagued. And see, I think we take it as servanthood, as when you start talking about being a servant, people turned you off right then. Well, I'm going to have to give up everything I got. I'm going to have to pack up and go to India or Africa. That's one of the two you always first say. I'm going to have to give up everything to God. I'm going to have to quit my job. I'm going to have to. But I tell you, he'll never ask you anything that won't be far greater than what you got right now. What a blessing it is. See, his focus was on service and being the servant that he wanted to be and doing what the master wanted him to do. I will not eat. See, this task wasn't given to just anybody. And this is going to probably take us out. I won't get to finish the whole message. But I want to get us set a minute, and I want to share with you just a minute. It's feel like the Lord is leading this way. If God calls you and leads you to a task, it's probably a task that not just anybody could do. I mean, this task you have been equipped for through the years. You might say, preacher, I'm not as young as I used to be, but amen, I'm with you. You're preaching to the choir there. But it don't matter. Caleb was 85 and he said, give me that mountain. I'll whoop the giants and run them out. I have no trouble with that. I want to look at a few people. David. When the prophet came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, they didn't even tell him they had David. He was out in the field keeping the sheep. And he went right down through and he said, God's not leading me to anoint none of these. Don't you have nobody else? And then I could hear the brothers sniggering. And Jesse said, well, yeah, there's David. He's out in the field. Amen. I never will. I preached a message. Most of you probably, I can't even remember exactly about it. But I preached a message, and when David come in, the prophet said something like, the king has just walked in. The king's in the house. Praise the Lord. Just the presence of David coming in. He said, God is called upon this young man's life, and he's going to do something great and tremendous in his life. And boy, the nations trembled at the name of David. People ran, were scared to death of him. They sang songs about him. He praised God all the time and wrote songs, and the Psalms is full of the things that God revealed to him. And what a man to be used of God. Not just any of Jesse's sons could be king. It had to be David. And also, the widow Zarephath. God had told Elijah to leave. He had had a showdown, and now God was moving him out. In 1 Kings 17:9, this is what God told Elijah. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. She's just a widow. She was getting ready to fix all she had and her and her son die. God said, I've called her to feed you and take care of you. Nobody else was called except this little widow. And she quit looking in the barrel. And she knew that every time she ran her hand in there, she's going to get a handful of meal. She knew every time she dipped that cup down in the oil, she's going to come out there with the oil. And God had promised that until it rained, that her barrel would not run out. And she sustained God's prophet. What about Esther? Just so happened. They needed a queen. Just so happened she won a beauty contest. Just so happened she wound up on the throne. Just so happened she was a Jew. Just so happened the right-hand man Haman was going to kill the Jews. And Mordecai said, how do you know that you have not been put for such a time as this? Saved the children of Israel from being destroyed. Nobody else could have done that job. God had a specific job picked for Esther. She is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I mean, just wow. Yeah, but Tim, you're talking about some tremendous things here, some tremendous feats of tremendous people. Well, let me ask you one. What about a little boy got up one morning and said, Mom, I want to go hear Jesus preach. And she said, we don't have much, but I've got 2 little fish and 5 little barley loaves. Take this for your dinner with you today. Woo, glory! Nobody else was chosen that day, that little boy, to feed 5,000 people. Wow. You talking about tremendous. And God had his hand upon that lad, and he said, well, how much food do we have? I know Jesus knew exactly how much food they had. He said, well, we got one little boy. It's got a couple little fish and a few little loaves of bread. Bring it here. Glory, hallelujah. Have you got two fish and five loaves? Have you got something that God can take and use? Little is much when God's in it. What about another guy? Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus just needed to borrow a tomb. And just so happened, God took this, had blessed this man beyond, no telling how much wealth he had. Had a new tomb just been hewed out. Nobody had ever laid in it. Nobody, it was brand new, and he had it for when he got older. And he said, "But Jesus, you can borrow my tomb." Glory, hallelujah. Took him, prepared him, and put him in it. He just needed it 3 days. Ain't you glad Jesus gives back what he borrows? Praise the Lord. What about the disciples? A ragtag bunch right there. Tax collectors, fishermen, old rough guys. God chose them to share the gospel to save the world. It was their job and their task. Every one of them gave her life. Except one. John died natural death. What about the Apostle Paul? He said he's one apostle born out of due season. But he gave up everything that he had ever worked to accomplish to win the lost for Jesus Christ. And he was a trusted servant. That group, we can trace our salvation back to one of that crew right there. Praise the Lord. See, what about us? What about the servants that we are? Jesus said in John 6:34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He wasn't worried about food either. His food, his nourishment, his strength come from serving God, serving his Father. But he said, he didn't stop there. He said, "To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." We may start out of the chute real good, but how are we finishing? How are we going to finish? I remember in the eighth grade that we had an elementary school, and my cousin went to the same school. We was in the same grade. And we went to Crockett for field track day, trials, field. I can't even think of the name of it now, but anyway. And he competed in the mile run. And he took off and left everybody in the dust. Amazing. Till about the first end of the first lap, lap and a half. And then he was... And then about the time the people called up to him, he took off again. And he made it about halfway around again. I don't even know if he finished the race. It was that guy that just had that steady pace the whole time that won the race. See, it don't matter how we start out. It's how we finish. And the number one thing is we start out right, we start out and we've asked Jesus into our hearts. And then it's important that we are sure that we are the servant that he can count on. Do we have time to eat, or is the job too important and the task too important? See, I think until we realize what's going to happen if we don't do the job right. Abraham's seed would not have got, if Eliezer had not done the job he was called to do, God's promise wouldn't have been accomplished. If we don't do the job we're called to do, people will go to hell. It won't get accomplished. There's people we can only win. What are we doing for the Lord today? Are we that servant? Or are we just getting by? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today.